Yesterday, the police chief and the public safety director was here while we were on the air having a community conversation about crime and violence. What do we do? What happened? Two people shot and killed. So what happened this morning? Indianapolis police officer shot. Luckily, he was wearing his bulletproof vest in a shootout with the suspect. The officer is fine. In fact, he has been released from the hospital to go be with his family. The suspect is dead. Two others inside a house on the 2700 block of Dearborn are also dead. So that's five in less than 24 hours. So all week has been Your Life Matters Week on Afternoons with Amos, and we've been having a discussion with a variety of people. Senator Donnelly was here. Ministers were here. The surgeons from Eskenazi Hospital, the trauma center, were here. The police chief, the public safety director was here. Well, today, you're not going to believe this. I am surrounded by a den of tigers. I have a bunch of tigers in the, you talk about tigers in the tank. Tony the Tiger. No, Tony's not here. The old gas station, what was it? Esso Gas, Enco, used to have, put a tiger in your tank. They're not here, but we have the legacy. Part of the 70 to 80 year legacy of Crispus Attucks High School. I am surrounded, literally in the studio, by a passel of tigers. Crispus Attucks Tigers, they are part of the newest NAACP branch in Indiana, a youth branch at Crispus Attucks. I still call it high school, even though it's got a longer name, Medical Magnet High School Junior High. The heck with all that, it's Attucks. And tigers are in the house, and their challenge today is, and I told them before we came on the air, I said, usually we don't get to talk to young people. They done snuck out of school. officially. And they're over here. This is the opportunity for all of you and for them, representing the thousands of young people in our community. An opportunity to hear from young people. Let me just set who is here. I have Kevin Griffin. He is a senior, but he doesn't get to walk for 2 weeks because Attucks' graduation is not till the 12th. Man, where's Farabee at? Let me call the superintendent. Kevin is going to Wabash College. Amen. Great university. Naomi Burdo is here. She's a junior. Shakaya Kelso is a sophomore. Makaira Draper is a sophomore. Amanda Wilson, a junior. Ashai Thomas, junior. Jasmine Herring, junior. Salima Abdul Alim is eighth grader. She's representing the middle school in the house. All right. Maya McChristian is a senior. She's going to be walking on the 12th, and she's going to go up to Purdue. She's going to keep an eye on Mitch Daniels. Somebody needs to do that. Zyra Strayhorn is a junior, and Byron Ratcliffe is here, the president of the Indianapolis branch of the NAACP. Crystal Ratcliffe is here. We got some others, but they ain't supposed to be talking. It's about the young people. First of all, Attucks Tigers, welcome.
Thank you for having us on your show, Amos.
All right. Now, don't be shy, Attucks Tigers. So here's the deal, guys. Right now, there have been 68 murders this year. Only 12 to 15% of the murders have been committed by people under 18. So despite the hype in the media making everybody think it's all people under 18, it ain't. But we're 24% ahead of where we were this time last year. And at the rate we're going, we're going to set a new record in killing in this town. Which is crazy. We've heard from a lot of people that says, you know, there's not things for young people to do in this town. It's boring. Summer jobs are kind of six one way, half a dozen the other. There's just a lot of things. This is your opportunity, Attucks Tigers. What do we do about it? Because obviously us folk of my age and the generation just below us, we done blown it because we ain't figured this out. What do we do, guys? Don't be shy. Step up. Don't let the brother go into Wabash because, see, Wabash, them Wabash students are sharp. So don't let him dominate the discussion. Just lean on in. Step on in. What do we do, guys?
I would think that it would be helpful if we had more programs that were dedicated to students who are older, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of after-school programs for younger children in elementary school where they take them to places, they help them with their work, and they give them something to do. And that's not as available to high school students and as hyped up and students are educated about as it is in elementary school.
Girl, that's deep. I've never heard anybody bring that. That's a great point. So see how simple it is? Come on, guys. Don't be shy.
Well, I'm personally a graduate of COD, and so I graduated last year, and I know what that program has done for me and the wonders that it creates in a child's life as far as preparing them for college and other programs that they've done over the years. Mm-hmm. I think that if COD offered more voucher programs for students interested across the city to get that training that they need, for example, Success Prep, it challenges students to be prepared between 8th grade and 9th grade. There's also programs for students that are interested in going to college, hopefully everyone, and it prepares them adequately for the rigor and the challenge of the admissions counselors in the office to file the right paperwork and file for financial aid and so on and so forth.
All right. What else?
I think, you know, we're talking about all these programs and everything, but a lot of these programs are easier, seem to be easier access to the students who are more excelled and, like, students who seem to have a little more money than other students sometimes. And I think there needs to be more programs that are geared towards those who are lesser fortunate, and I think there needs to be more youth centers around more, like, accessible to those who are lesser fortunate than us, because a lot of these programs, we do get these because we have counselors who are looking out for us and we're very involved socially. But what about those students who are not? And somebody needs to be there to guide them.
That's a great point. So sometimes we think about there's programs for those whose parents have the resources, and there are others. Is there also a problem that it's hard to know what is available? They've got this organization called McCoy, Marion County Commission on Youth. They print out a book. It's 2014. Is a book like this helpful for you, or should this be something that you can pull up on? Because all y'all I know got cell phones.
Right.
On the cell phone, is the book played out and it needs to be more like – don't be nodding your head.
I think it's certainly played out. I think that we need more things that are accessible online, because that's where everything is going. I was listening to your show yesterday, or actually this morning, and I was recapping about the trauma surgeons. And I had no clue about the program that brings teens in that have been shot and have been injured by
the prescription of hope.
Yeah. Prescription of Hope. And I think that program is very valuable because it gives students and just children in general the opportunity to recover from their gunshot wounds, as well as the trauma that's endured during violent incidents.
239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name. It's your opportunity to ask questions of these Tigers from Addicts. We also have in the house Tyler Stockton. He's a junior out at Pike High School. So Pike is in the house, and he's representing the greater Indianapolis chapter, in the NAACP's youth chapter. Why is he hiding in the back? Is she hiding in the back where I can't see her? All right. 239-1310. It's interesting. So you all are the generation where it is electronic as opposed to print. So you all are saying that the information of what's out there and available ought to be more electronic, because if you find out about it, then you're going to tell mom, dad, grandpa, and grandpa, this is something we ought to do. Take me there.
Yes.
Don't be saying, come on, come on.
Certainly.
The corner over there is trying to be the amen corner when I want y'all to amen, be amen, and so that everybody can. And if I say something y'all disagree with, step to it. You know, we don't have to necessarily agree.
I know particularly the McCoy book, because my mom, she actually used to use it when I was in elementary, and it was a great resource. But as we, like, in that time, technology wasn't as big as it is now. So I can totally understand. We definitely do need to move that to the internet, where we could easily just do a Google search, to where we could do academic programs or some summer programs for us to do while we're in high school in order for us to, you know, keep our minds going during the summer and for us to keep out of trouble. Because, like, as you get older, your parents, they still care about you, but they expect you to start taking your own responsibility and to actually motivate yourself in order to be who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that you bringing up that we need to do the electronic thing more, that definitely does need to be pushed, because we are really big on our electronics. I've literally been sitting here with my phone in my lap, and I can't get away from my phone. So, and I know that most people are like that. So that's something that we really need to push.
So, because it's interesting, government and agencies, they push the general community to be more electronic, and, you know, the older generation is saying, well, I can't understand, you know, this stuff, but you all are. Now, I got to ask you this question. Is hanging at the mall still hip, or is that played out? And if it hasn't played out, is it Circle Center, Castleton?
I shop online. Yeah, I shop online. But if I go to shop.
I'm not going to hang out.
I'll have girl time with my friends, but I mean, I go to shop.
Because I got listeners that think, well, they're just hanging in the mall.
I know at some point that at a certain age that people do, but at this age, I don't think that people do.
That it's more that you're doing what my wife does when she goes to the mall. She's not hanging out.
Right.
She's shopping, and and I have to be prepared to stay there for 3 hours.
Exactly.
And read my phone. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is. When you all hear and see the stories on TV about the violence that's going on in our city, what are you all thinking? You know, is the media over portraying or inaccurately portraying that it's more young people when it's people 18, 19, 20, 25, 26? How do you all react to that? Or is it in one eye and out the other?
It's shocking to me. Whenever I see something on the news, I love watching news. I watch world news. It's depressing to me, and it's portrayed very negatively. And a lot of times you only hear the stories about the 2000 blocks, certain areas. You never hear about, you know, Carmel and all that. Once in a while you do something major, but I feel like they try to focus on the inner city children and try to almost blame everything on us. And yet there's nothing saying, well, let's help these kids. You don't see commercials about, let's, you know, build youth centers, let's find funding for this. There's nothing like that, but you see commercials about buy this product and all that, and that's just, it's ridiculous to me, to be honest.
Is it still nothing to do? I keep telling my audience, if I were your age, and if I don't want to go and see the $11 or the $12 movie at the movie theater, if I don't want to figure out the bowling alley, ain't no more, only one or two skate rinks, ain't nothing to do. Is that, and I think listeners think I'm inventing that. What's the reality out here?
Honestly, nothing to do.
And the movie's now up to $12?
Yes, yeah. They're expensive.
And that's not even 30.
And you know what's worse? Like, you go and then you find out the movie wasn't even that good. So bad.
Right. 239-1310. Let me start today on the phones with Antoine. Hi, Antoine.
How you doing, sir?
I'm fine. Antoine, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I used to be young. I used to do the same thing they do. Out in the street, run the streets like that. I learned my lesson, and I changed my life, went back to church and stuff and all that. Like, out here, they need to help these community out here for the kids out here and stuff. So that's what we need, community for the kids, open a center, keep them off the street and stuff. And I used to do that. We hang out, do bad stuff. But now I changed my life. I'm 27 years old. And I turned my life up to God and stuff. I used to do the same to Vegas and do hang out downtown, get to a fight and stuff. I can't do it no more. I changed my whole life. Tell the youngs when I talk to, it ain't nothing down here. It's just death and jail down here and downtown and stuff.
All right, great points. Great points. How important, important may be the wrong word. How tough is it for folks your age and your friends to find a job?
Extremely hard.
Yeah, extremely hard. Is it hard? How are you going to? Yeah, wait a minute. You're getting ready to be a Wabash man. How hard is it? That's going to be hard for a Wabash man.
It's not supposed to be hard. I'm glad you brought up that point. I've just filed two applications to apply for some jobs around where I live, around Camp Street in the Attics area. And it is so hard for me. I don't know why personally, but it's so hard for me with a great resume, with great ambition and a great future to get a job in the city for some reason. And I don't know if it's because of my age. I don't know if it's because of my work experience. I don't know what it is, but it keeps trumping me every time.
Some others started to really reach up to the microphone on that one. Come on, testify.
I have to concur with Kevin in that I've applied to basically half to 75% of the stores in the downtown mall. Mind you, there are quite a few. Mm-hmm. I've applied to Kroger's. I've applied to Marsh's, all around my community because I don't have transportation. And I call back, you know, a week later, check on the status of my application, still got nothing. And it's like, you know, I'm doing a lot of activities and I'm, you know, very active in my community. I'm in different programs that help out youth. I've interned for corporations. What am I doing wrong? And why isn't there someone to guide me through this process so that I will know what to do better next time?
Ooh, you just hit something. So because I had some people on about a week or so ago where they did a survey of high school counselors in the state, and they discovered that high school counselors are spending 40% of their time not counseling students like you, but sitting in the hall doing paperwork and busy work. So obviously, if the counselors don't have the time just to figure out what courses you need to take to be able to get your degree in your core 40 plus, your core 40 technical, then they definitely don't have the time to kind of help you with that job thing. So there needs to be some kind of place that gives like some job tips and training, because you don't get that from the counselor, and that's not the counselor's fault.
Right. Yeah. Certainly. I think even at a small high school like
that. Now, that's going to be your last. You are using up your preemptory challenges.
I can
get some folks in there. Come on now. This is not just for three or four people. This is a talk show. We want to hear a lot of people talking. Go ahead.
Continuing what Kevin was probably about to say, we need more courses in high school that help us enhance for the future. Like home ec, that's not offered in most high schools.
Well, but now, wait a minute. Now, see, if I were here with all these education reformers, they would say, well, you don't need home tech. We've got to prepare you for college and a career, and you're going back old school on me.
Yes. I can tell you one thing. I literally talk about this with my high school peers a lot. I'm like, I have enough credits right now as a junior to get my high school diploma right now. Our school does not permit early graduation, and I don't want to keep working towards my high school graduation. Literally, high school is 4 years. By the time I get out, what I did in high school is not going to matter. So I don't feel like I should have to keep working towards my high school diploma when I'm already done in order to get in a better college. I know what college I want to go to, and I know that more than likely I will get in because I have worked really hard to get into the college that I would like to go to. So continuing on working towards something that is basically going to be in our past and the near future, that does not make sense. We should be working towards what we need for the future.
I'm going to follow up on her point on the home ec. I've said on this program, not so much jokingly but serious, there needs to be some courses in high school that teaches students real world, you know, how to balance a checkbook, how to, you know, what I call life skills. Is
mortgages.
is that just a doddering old man talking, or is that real?
Like, you know, I take AP calculus, I've taken just about every science course there is in my school, and, you know, learning all that is great, it really is, but at the same time, how is that going to help me apply for a job? How is that going to help me get a mortgage on my house? How is that, like, where's that going to apply to the real world? I just don't understand. And nobody's teaching us this, you know, and it's very rare that you actually find a finance course or something that you can take to help you, but it doesn't exist.
I need to take y'all to the next meeting of the Education Roundtable. The only reason I say that is all these muckety-mucks at the top in terms of education. They're the ones saying we need more calculus, we need more science, we need more math. You don't need home ec, you don't need that. We've got to prepare you for Harvard, we've got to prepare you for MIT. And what I'm hearing from one of IPS's best schools, because Addicts has got it going on, is that's all well and good, you like the calculus, but you want some reality in it. You going? Come on, step with it.
I think family values are also a good idea. Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned the science and all that.
Yeah.
But we need to know how to commune as people as well. Yes. Too. Like,
they don't have theology. They don't have speech classes no more.
My mom always talks about how she had like finance class and typing and all that. We do not have any of that type of stuff at our school.
If I show you during the break how much I can do with two fingers. 239-1310. Let me go to Anonymous right quick, then we'll take a break. Hi, Anonymous.
Yes, I just wanted to ask them a quick question. Okay, my granddaughter, she's experiencing this. When she uses proper English and she articulates what she's trying to say, then her peers, some of her friends try to say she's acting white. Do y'all have that same issue?
Oh, yes, we do. Yes.
So you mean when you talk like this, they dog you out?
Yes. We're professional. But,
huh? Yes.
If we consider a professional, they call it white.
Yes.
So,
They must not listen to the show when I alternate from talking like a PBS announcer to, let's talk with the Bussons. They must not. Is that real?
Yes. Very real.
How do you deal with that?
You know, at first.
Especially. How do you deal with that?
So at first, you know, you're kind of, I guess, dumbfounded by that somebody would actually say something like that to you. But then, unfortunately, some people get used to it. Some people have to endure it for a long time. Me personally, I've had that said to me by students, by unfortunately a teacher before, and by a teacher, and it's been a common occurrence throughout my life, unfortunately.
239-1310, 239-1310 is the afternoon's name. We'll take a break. We are having a great discussion, hearing from young people, a passel of tigers in the house. Notice they haven't even tried to growl yet. Don't be surprised. Somebody may call and want to hear the Addict song.
Yes.
Wait, we're talking about the one from back of y'all?
Yes, you have choir students up in here.
Choir.
Oh, no, that may come a little later. Chris wants to know, can I say, no, I'm not singing the Addict song. They will. They will in a bit. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We have a tank full of tigers from Christmas Addicts High School in the newest NAACP chapter, the NAACP youth chapter at Christmas Addicts, and we're hearing about youth. And during the break, I got a reaction from Maya McChristian, and tell me what we were talking about during the break.
Okay, so I feel like the issue that a lot of the people in charge of education have with classes like home ec and life skills and classes that will help us is that they come from families that aren't low-income families. And in a low-income family, you oftentimes have people who aren't there. You have parents who have to work two or three jobs and don't have the time or resources to teach their children things that they need. So when they went to school, you know, they had their parents teach them how to balance a checkbook, mm-hmm. and then went to school and had it done all over. So it seems tedious and unnecessary. But we don't have that option. This is all we have. So we're going to graduate and know how to add and read and whatnot, but we won't know how to cook a meal. We won't know how to balance a checkbook. We'll be in bankruptcy by the time we graduate from college.
You're going to be that way anyway. Let me go to Mayhem at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, you know, when you first came on, you read the statistic of who committing crime. Then you had your first caller sit there and blame it on the youth. I want to ask you, do they feel like they are being ripped of common sense because, as the young lady was saying, they're not being taught common sense in the school because the school don't have time. They teach them towards the test. And also, do they feel people their peers are doing less work and being paid, and do they feel cheated? And I take my answer off there. Thank you.
Do y'all feel like y'all are being cheated? How do you react to that?
Well, when he talks about the common sense and how we're basically being cheated, I will say this, that I have had teachers to complain to me about how many standardized tests and state tests that we have to take, and it's basically getting away of their instructional time.
How do you all feel?
I personally feel like we should get it. I mean, we are the future, and we should be prepared to actually take that role.
And one thing, I do not like being stereotyped and generalized to take standardized tests, to be honest. Because I feel like intelligence cannot be measured by just taking one test to get one shot at, you know, and this is what college is going to look at to accept you, whether or not, maybe you're not the best test taker. Maybe, you know so much more. You know so much more life experience. You have so much more life experience to offer. And they would never know this because all they look at is that standardized test.
Is it also... Is there pressure when you take it? Is it like last night on the spelling bee? Because I actually watched part of it, and this young man that came up, yeah, I got this word, and then blew it. And I looked at that young man, and I knew he knew the word, but then all of a sudden he let his excitement get the better of his common sense when he should have gone like everybody else. What is the orange in? Which is the one of the oldest positive tricks, and when you're under pressure and you have the ability to ask a question, what do they teach you? Ask the question, take your time. And he just thought he had it when he should say, well, is it French? Is it? But is there pressure when you take these things?
Yes.
Is it pressure from yourselves? Is it pressure from the teachers, the people above you? Is it pressure for me in the media when I end up seeing what the scores are and I start reading, this school did this school did that, or all of the above?
I feel that it's pressure from the teachers because some of us have been told that some teachers could lose their job because of tests, and the grading system for the test is very not at all good, and it does not show what the test, like, which you actually get on the test sometimes. And I feel like that, yeah, it's a lot of pressure from the teachers, just like, I'm going to lose my job if you don't do this on the test and stuff like that.
I got to ask you this. Would it help if you knew before you took the test what passing is? Because my understanding is when you take ECA or when you take ISTEP, you don't know what the passing score is.
Yes,
you're just taking the test.
Yes.
As opposed to SAT and ACT, where you get, what do you get? You get 200 points just for signing your name and giving them the money.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to a meeting in 2 weeks where they're talking about tests. I'm remembering all this stuff. Let me go to CJ at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm fine.
I'd like to say congratulations to the young ladies, but I have a question for them.
Go right ahead. They're here.
Okay. One of the young ladies said that the mother and the father would be working a lot. And so where's the rest of the family? If they want to know how to do these things, why don't they just ask the question?
The question to who?
How to cook, how to do things. It's really not the school's responsibility. It comes from home, then they do it again at school.
So you're saying, wait a minute, let me make sure I understand this. So if the mom in the family is too busy,
yes.
All right, then who should they ask?
They got neighbors, they got church members, they got other elders, don't they?
We're too busy doing homework.
All right. Anybody want to respond to Brother CJ?
A lot of families are broken, and a lot of families are not that ideal, perfect family, and a lot of neighborhoods are not close because a lot of neighborhoods are not safe. And a lot of these kids that are coming from those situations that don't know how to do anything are living in those unsafe neighborhoods. Their families are not together. My own family is not exactly the best family. I don't speak to my uncles, and they live right around the corner from me. So blood really doesn't mean anything. Neighbors don't mean anything, especially you can walk down the street and get shot. Who wants to take that risk? I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds.
239-1310. 239-1310 is the afternoon's name. Do us adults over-glamorize how we grew up and don't understand what growing up is like in 2014?
Yes. For example, I live with my grandmother, and she's 83.
And generally, when I come home after school, it's about five, if it's an early day, about seven or eight, if it's one of the later days. And she always asks me, why am I tired when I haven't done anything? Now, mind you, I spend 9 hours in school dealing with tests, dealing with teachers, dealing with middle schoolers who don't like to listen. Then I usually have to go to an after school program where I'm either dancing or I'm singing or I'm working or applying for jobs. Then when I get home, I have to work on fixing a meal for her, cleaning up the house for her, or doing something to help my grandmother out. And then I have time to go to sleep and repeat the whole process.
And grandmother, you was just in school, girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I did that real well.
Yes.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that? In terms of we or people out in the community don't understand families today in 2014? Yeah. Come on. Now, see, that's the first time y'all got – y'all must be thinking they're listening, so I need to be cool.
Well, I think that sometimes people that are not our age, they don't understand us as well because some of the requirements back then weren't as tough as they are now. You know, we're in high school and, you know, maybe the credits were the same or they were close to being the same, 32, 36 credits, you know, but we're going over and beyond that. You know, we're taking a load that is much tougher than years past, you know, when you didn't have to take chemistry or physics to graduate from high school. So I think that the amount of weight that we have to bear is a little larger than what they propose that we have.
Let me go to Counselor Duke Oliver right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, how you doing, Ayla?
Fine.
And I want to say hello to all your guests on there.
Hello.
We're going to do, the council is going to recognize the 1954 class of Christmas Addicts Monday night. It'll be their 60th year anniversary. And I want you guys to know that. We're also very proud of the achievements you guys are doing over at the school at the current time. And we're fighting very hard to see to it that you have an opportunity to enjoy the yourselves as you go through life, and certainly as you attend a university of your choice. So we're watching you, we support you wholeheartedly, and tune in Monday night to see the recognition of the class of 1954.
I appreciate it, Duke. Let me go to Leticia at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to, I guess, congratulate all the kids that are on the station. That they just really seem like that they have a good head on their shoulders, and a lot of teams today, you know, they don't. They're very irresponsible. So I wanted to just give a congratulations to them. And, like, nowadays, like what the young lady was saying is that, like, we're all not together, and you can't go down the street and talk to people, you know, as far as getting education. Like, my daughter, she's 6, and, you know, she was doing really bad on her spelling, and she got, like, maybe 7 words out of 42, and I actually felt sorry for my daughter because my daughter's 6. She's talked to me about everything. And I actually put the words on the wall for my daughter to see her sight words because I didn't want her to be able not to go to kindergarten. And so I was the one that, you know, helped my daughter read because the teacher, you know, they have to deal with a lot of children. They don't really have the time to you know, get every child and teach them. So I felt like it was my responsibility to teach my daughter her sight words because if she didn't, there was nobody else that was going to teach her. So I just wanted to really congratulate these kids because they really seem like that they're getting somewhere. And one thing I learned is to always trust in the Lord, and you guys will find a job.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Dave right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Byron Radcliffe. He's instrumental in helping me take kids up to Central State University, and thank you very much.
All right, let me go to Carol at 239-1310. Hi there.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Yes, and as an educator, as a Christmas Addicts graduate, as a lifetime NAACP member, I just want to thank these young people. They have done an outstanding job, and I'm just so proud of them. I'm proud of how they have spoken in regard to critical issues in the city, how articulate they are, how well versed they are in what's going on in the community. And I would encourage the community that has listened to them today, on your committees and with your activities, would please invite these young people more to be participants on those committees so that when projects are initiated and plans are developed, that we have truly the voice of the young people. They've done an outstanding job.
I appreciate that. 239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is. When you talk among your peers, what separates you all being here, in other words, being successful, quote unquote, young people, and those that aren't?
We have a plan.
What caused you to have a plan?
I see the struggle that my family has went through, and I know that I don't want to go through that. Mm-hmm. So I did what I had to do to make an A, B, and possibly a plan C to know that I won't struggle. Mm. I won't struggle.
How do we – I don't know whether you teach that to others. How do you instill that in others? Because if it's a situation where the more – young people that are on that borderline, and it's that borderline where they could go the right way or the wrong way. I was somewhere where they just honored four teachers and gave them $25,000 each because they were changing lives. And one of the teachers was the drama teacher over at Tech. And she had a young man that literally was trying to make a choice of staying in school or joining a gang. And that teacher was able to keep him on that right path. And now he's like Mustafa in one of the Lion King companies. Don't laugh. That's a union, well-paying union gig. So it's almost like when we form all these committees and task forces, should the priority be finding people that can help turn that young person or keep them on the right path as opposed to going on the wrong path? In other words, what should adults' priorities be to kind of make things better for your generation in this town? There's a lot of people listening right now because they want to know, what is Amos? What kind of trouble is he getting into? And, if you could wave a magic wand and tell all the muckety-mucks and leaders, black and white, in this town what they should be doing, what should it be?
I know that for sure, talking to many other young people, that it is more effective using young people than older people mm-hmm. to talk yeah. to mm-hmm. us about what we should do in life.
So it should be peer-to-peer?
Right. Yes.
So is it, when you say young people your age or no more than 10 years right. above you?
Right.
I've never even heard that. Y'all coming up with stuff the mayor's office ain't even thought of yet. what else?
And don't just talk to the successful ones, like, us ourselves. Talk to the ones that need the help, the ones that we really need to focus on. And it's just... They need encouragement. We all need encouragement, and that's really all that it is.
No one to look down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we need to find the dollars to open either schools or centers on Saturday night and find some kind of recreation?
Yes.
What should that recreation be?
Gyms.
What do you do in the gym? I mean, is it a dance? Is it a party?
I think that it should be something fun for the youth to do, but I think there should also be some kind of mentoring element mm-hmm. as well. We talked about how you can deter people from their path sometimes by the way their life moves and the environment that they live in. And so I think that maybe churches, like you talked about earlier this week, could come in and mentor children. And it doesn't have to be a Christian thing. It can be something that it's just valuable to anybody that wants to come.
But if all of a sudden we say Addicts is open Saturday night for a young people get together, how if we got B Swift from down the hall at 96 to come in and play the music, how do you mentor when half the people are up on the dance floor dancing? How do you mix the mentoring with the fun? And I'm asking because I'm old and great. You look like you had that. You look like you had the answer right there. Come on with it.
There's a program at school called JROTC.
It's called what?
JROTC.
Okay.
It's a student-led program.
Okay.
Where we learn responsibility. We have fun, and we also do work.
Mm.
So it's like it's a good balance.
But that's during school hours.
Yeah.
So how do we do that on Saturday night, which, A, you'd save the $12 on the movie, you save the other $15 for the popcorn and the nachos and the soda pop, so you're already like $30 ahead. How do we do those things on like a Saturday late afternoon and evening? And the reason I said that was out of the Boys Club about a year ago, did a show, And I asked the head of the Boys Club, I said, how come y'all don't do stuff on the weekends anymore? He said, we used to do them and the young people wouldn't come. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Did you really ask the young people that they wouldn't come?
I think that maybe incorporating sports into stuff, mm-hmm. because there's people that are great at sports, but they're not getting the proper guidance academically and they can't play. And so I feel like incorporating stuff like that into those events would help people get more drive to.
So it would be like I would, if like intramural or like. It's not. It's organized sport, but it's not organized sport. It's not in schools, but it's like a neighbor, like Forest Manor meets Martindale Brightwood at the Attics Gym. Pay $3. Come on.
Sure. Yeah.
That's different. I like that.
Well, like just like my first Sarge told me a few weeks ago, feed us and we'll come. Like, I'm a kid that loves to eat, even though it does not look like it. But I love to eat, so like feed us and we'll come, like bring food, like any type, healthy, non-healthy. Like we're going to come show up and be involved.
I like that one. that works here at the radio station. Anytime people bring food, the whole staff comes out of nowhere. They text people and they come from home. Like, food, boom, we're here.
I say think about what actually brings teenagers to a certain place, like the Black Expo. Teenagers go to that. You got the celebrity basketball game. You got different things going on.
Right.
But so where would the mentoring come in at? The ticket could be you have to sit through an interview or some type of workshop, noting different things, how to, etiquette, how to do certain things, how to dress in a interview.
Yeah.
You want to see 50 Cent do the basketball, sit through this.
Because I know for sure that I was in a physics camp one year, and they literally gave me 5 free tickets to the Black Expo because I was a really good student in the summer camp. So
this is getting deep. Let me go to Marsha, 239-1310. We'll take a break. Hi, Marsha.
Hi, Amos. I want to give a shout out to the young people you have on your program today. And it's just a blessing to hear the comments from them. I want to let them know that, first of all praise to God, and I pray that each one of you will flourish in your future, and then give a shout out to Amos for doing this. But one of your members stated that we should not only have the people like them on your program, but those who are struggling also, mm-hmm. so that we can hear from them firsthand.
All right, good points, my sister. I appreciate it.
Shout out to Maya McChristian also. Thank you.
Got a text message to 37890, keyword Amos, 37890, keyword Amos. They want to know what drives you besides circumstances and necessity to say if your parents were well off and you did not have felt as if you had to succeed to do better, do you think your drive would be different?
Well, me personally, my mom was an educator for 9 years, so she did push me. So I can't say that because I can't say that I'm successful because of failure in my family and all that. So, mm-hmm. But she did push me to do that.
Anybody else? Come on with it.
And me personally, I can't say I come from a successful mother and father, and I'm not driven by negative. I'm also driven by knowing that I won't settle for less than what I'm given now. I know that I'm going to go above and beyond to be more than what they are, so I'm not going to only focus on the negative. I know it's going to make me even more bigger than what I am and more bigger than my parents, so they don't have to motivate me by telling me to do this and do that. Just by living my lifestyle now, I know I can't have worse than this.
Anybody else want to add? Come on.
Sure, Amos. My parents had me when they were really young, and I think they motivated me to act in a responsible manner and act in a successful manner as well by showing me what success looks like from having shortcomings at first. My parents are a nurse and also a firefighter, and my dad owns his own business. But they've shown me what can happen when you work hard towards something, what can happen when you put in the dedication and the time to something. So that's what motivates me.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is Will. Take a break. They might sing the song. We don't know. We'll figure that out. Because if they sing the Addicts song, every Addicts alumni known to humankind will stand up and start cheering and whatever. 239-1310, 239-1310. We're hearing from young people. Their views on, and I'll tell you, some of the things they have said today, adults ain't said. The high muckety mucks and the politicians have not said. Even Tony Bennett never said anything like this. Maybe they should be the superintendents of public instruction. It's after this with Amos after these. I have a passel of tigers in the house and a red devil. From Addicts, the new Addicts NAACP youth chapter, Kevin Griffin, Naomi Brido, Chania Kelso, Micaiah Draper, Amanda Wilson, Ashai Thomas, Jasmine Herring, Salima Abdul Aleem, Maya McChristian, Zaira Strayhorn, Byron Ratcliffe, and he's the adult. And from Pike, with the youth chapter, the Greater Indianapolis NAACP chapter, Tyler Stockton, 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is, let me go back to the phones. And Dominic, hi there.
Yes.
You're on the air.
I'm a former NAA, not former, I still am, but I've just gone to college, and that's what I'm doing now. But I just first want to say thank you to you children. You all are doing more than what you know, and I hope you all continue that throughout college. But what I really wanted to talk about was, I think us as a society really need to define, again, what exactly a mentor is. I have mentors now that are some of my college buddies. We all mentor in a little brother or sister program, but some of them don't take the time to actually mentor. A lot of mentors say, oh, I'm a mentor, so they can put it on a college application or for community service hours to do this or that, and that doesn't help the child. That's only helping them. So I think if we provided more training as what a mentor is, or if those churches that are willing to do that have some seminar about this is how you actually mentor a child, because if you don't respect the child, they won't respect you. Some of the best mentorship and mentee relationships are those where they feel like they're family, or I can approach you like an older brother or older sister. But if you're just some random adult, you're not going to be effective as you were if you took time and put time and the effort into being a real mentor.
Guys, does the caller have a point? Is the caller, you know, right on that the mentor shouldn't just be there to get a ticket punched?
Definitely. Yes.
In your mind, have y'all had mentors, and if so, what made them great? Yeah.
Okay. I have a mentor. She is the granddaughter of my pastor. And I feel that what made her great was I knew I could go to her for anything that I needed at any time. She's moved all the way to Arizona, and I still know that if I need her, I can contact her. And if I need her to be there for something and she can, she will be there for me. And because I know that, like when she gives me advice or when she tells me to do something, I listen and I do it.
So when we're running around town setting up mentor programs, we need to be careful and find the right people, that maybe not everybody's a mentor.
Absolutely.
All right, let me go to Daniel at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello there, Amos. I have a situation that maybe the kids can help with, but maybe you as well as making a reference. There's my neighbor kid. I think he's 10 or 12 years old, very gifted. He likes to, like with the Transformers, he likes to take two separate things and see what he can make them into one. In school, he doesn't really interact well, but he passes all of his tests, so he's not challenged enough. And the mother's wondering if there's some kind of, well, one to the kids, is if a person, if they have ever been in a situation where just the class was a little boring, or they knew the material, and so they lose interest in paying a whole lot of attention because they knew the material and was passing the test. But then to you, Amos, if resources or other schools where she might be able to place him to to where he can receive the a challenging curriculum that will help him develop.
What grade is he in? You said he
was, oh, my goodness. I think, I'm not sure, but I think he's 10 years old.
All right, so he's around 10. He likes the Transformer cars. He does okay. He
does good in school.
He does good in school.
But he's not challenged, so he gets to misbehave.
What? I don't necessarily need the school name. What school system is he in?
IPS. No, he's not into IPS.
It's one of the townships?
It must be.
Okay. All right.
I thought about something along the lines of engineering, something that would challenge him. But I don't know if there's any schools that have any schools to recommend to him, because I'm from Wisconsin.
Well, first of all, Addicts has a partnership with IUPUI, and maybe they know of some folks at IUPUI. Kevin, you got some. Can help this gentleman out?
Sure, I think I can help you. I'm in a program called Science Bound. And Science Bound,
that's pretty a Purdue program, yeah.
Purdue program. And it's a program that has a partnership with a couple of different magnet schools in IPS. And their main goal is to train up people that are interested in STEM fields: science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Do they work with kids that young, 10? Because 10 sounds like fourth grade? Yeah, go ahead.
It's called the Explorers Program, and I'm actually now about to move into Science Bound from the Explorers Program.
Okay. I needed some names or something where I can pass this on.
Here's what we're going to do. What I'm going to do is, if you would hold on and give Chris, the gentleman that you talked to when you called me,
yes,
give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. Then what I've got to do, I've got to pass it on to Mr. Radcliffe as the adult here, because if I give it, I got to follow certain school protocols, since I got school kids in here on school hours. But, and he'll follow up, because it does sound like the Explorer program might work.
Yes.
Somebody from Addicts will follow up with you and get the information about this young man and his mom. Okay?
All righty.
Thank you
so much.
You're quite welcome. Let me go to Ramona at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Avis.
Hi.
And how are your guests?
Oh, they're fine. They're having a ball.
Yes.
They know this is more fun than taking an ECA test.
Oh, right. I love it. Yeah, I'm a graduate of Christmas Addicts also. But my question to the young people is, and I would like, you know, for as many to give an answer they can, how do you handle your young peers that have made a mistake? Maybe say like a young mother has had a child. How would you encourage her that this is not the end of the world, you know, that you don't give up and you can still be successful and still, you know, raise your child, you know, until maybe you're able to get married. So I would just like to hear an answer like that from those young minds, bright minds.
Okay. I have a friend that got pregnant our freshman year, and I kept in contact with her. She was going through the online schooling system, and I basically helped tutored her and met up with her just to help her out through her hard times, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, we just had a prom at Addicts, and being the class president, I wanted everybody to, you know, to come together, the people that were there from our sixth grade year to now, and she was a part of it, so I went around the school running around trying to see how I can get her to our prom. And after running around, you know, getting information and stuff from her online source and through administration, she was able to come to our prom.
Mm-hmm.
So just basically motivating her, letting her know that she can still have the high school experience.
Right.
Just because she had a child, that doesn't mean anything.
How was she treated?
She was treated the same. You know, everybody welcomed her back, and It was really a warm feeling seeing her happy.
Oh my goodness. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's neighbors. Let me ask before I take a break. In your neighborhoods, how safe do you feel?
I live in the 2000 blocks, and to be honest, I don't feel very safe at all. And I really honestly don't go outside much. I stay in my house. I stay to myself. I don't converse with my neighbors very much at all unless I'm with my parent or adult. I don't wander unless I'm taking my siblings to the park or something. Like, I really
I always have some type of form of protection, even if that may be mace or something. But I don't feel safe. I really don't. And it's, and I've lived there since I was 5, and I'm 17 now. So
others of you feel that way?
I feel similarly. Mm-hmm. I feel I live rather close to downtown. Mm-hmm. I believe the area I live in would still be considered downtown. Mm-hmm. And I live in an apartment. So within my exact apartment building, there are two neighbors that I trust enough where I would go and knock on their door to ask them for something. Mm-hmm. There are six other people living in our apartment building that I would be terrified to even go near them. We've mm-hmm. had cops come to our doors and have conversations with us and tell us that they know that there's a drug house going on above my apartment, and people get put out for the craziest things. And in the apartment building next to me, there have been gunshots fired. There have been all kind of crazy things during hours where, had I not been at school, I would have been in my apartment building while somebody's running around shooting people.
The other thing is, my grandmother lives like literally maybe a 5-minute walk away from me. And just last summer, there was a teen who got shot in front of her house. And it just kind of terrified me, because I used to ride bikes over there to her house, you know, when I was younger. And when I have time to, I'll walk over there and visit my grandmother. But now it's just like, I don't even want to take the chance, because that was right in front of her house. And it really scared me.
Is the discussion that we just had, is that a discussion that's a regular discussion among your peers? In other words, the safety of where you live? Okay. All right.
I wouldn't say it's a regular discussion. However, I have, you know, been taken home, and people question whether or not I live within what's called the hood. And
the hood.
Yeah.
Don't they know the hood includes 42nd and German Church?
Exactly. And I'm like, I don't know. We live within a semi-high crime area. It's gotten better in recent years, but like the apartments next to our apartments used to be the hood. So I would never know how to answer that.
I live on Post Road.
You say, why are you dissing me? All right. That's 10 points. You get 10 points for that one.
It's a part of life. Like, around, it's not like a thing where we're scared to go outside. You just know your boundaries, I guess. Like, I can walk up down 42nd and all, but I'm not gonna be there. Like,
do you ever get hassled by people saying, well, you know, trying to force you to join a group you don't want to join?
Oh, I mean, it does happen in my neighborhood, but I'm a Christian, and I just know boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, some people just aren't gonna be around.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We'll take a break. Come back with our remaining moments with some fantastic young people from Addicts, the Addicts NAACP chapter. This has been, I'm hearing things I usually don't hear from the guests that come on this show. Chris is stunned. Chris don't even hear anything like that down in Franklin Township. Though if we had Franklin Township students, I bet we'd hear some of that. It's Afternoons with Amos on the last Friday of May. I knew that we're talking with these outstanding young people from Addicts with a Pike Red Devil in the mix. And I knew I'd left out a subject. De-curfew! And these members of the City County Council and the police chief that wants you all to be in at 11 o'clock every night, including Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night, Sunday morning. They give no good reason other than we can. So what are y'all thinking? Don't be shy.
So as most of your listeners know, we have a new introduction of Public Law 91, and it has some issues with it. You know, we've had a curfew law that it states that some days in the week we have to be in by 1 o'clock and then 1 o'clock in the morning, and then other times we have to be in by 11 o'clock. And now this new public law will make everyone have to be in at 11 o'clock.
Monday through Sunday. And so I think the problem with that is it only solves half of the problem. You have students or kids out late at night, and they get caught up in the system. And once they get caught up in the system, you have issues in getting employment, like Maya and I talked about earlier, and also getting a job, getting financial aid, as well as applying for college. It just keeps the cycle going over and over and over again.
Do they realize it would put, you know, all of the 10 o'clock shows at the movie theaters out of business? Do they recognize that?
Yes.
And I don't know how you do a prom and try to end the prom before 11 o'clock. That's almost unamerican. Yeah, go ahead.
It actually has, you know, exclusions for proms and school events and stuff like that, that states that you can't be out if you're with that. I still think that it needs to be some changes made to the law.
Does it also need that they need to have a better justification for the law other than we're adults and we can?
Yes.
Yes.
So they've not made the justification. Actually, I asked the police, you know, show me how many crimes have been committed by people under 18 between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. I'm still waiting on that data.
Right. Because I know for sure that most homicides are the average age is 25. So there's really no one under the age of 18 that are getting into those type of, you know, activities.
It's a very small percentage. You're absolutely right.
And actually the activities that do happen that are homicides and all the bad things are really right after you get out of school and in between, 4 and 8. Between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m.
No, actually, we had the statistics the other here yesterday.
Really?
And we found that the biggest hour last year was 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. No, 8 p.m. And then another one was like 10 p.m. And there was a little bit at 11, a little bit at midnight, and then it kind of tailed off. And then the safest hours were like 8 or 9 in the morning until this morning. 239-1310. Is that also a part of it of knee-jerk reaction to a problem instead of really sitting down and analyzing the problem? And then the other piece is you all are members of a chapter of an organization used to standing up. Are we going to see, you know, the youth chapter speak out on some of these issues? Because again, the curfew ordinance is introduced and is still kind of in limbo because they don't have the votes yet to bring it out of committee. Young people going downtown to the council and testifying and saying, you know, holding up signs saying y'all crazy.
Certainly. I think as a new chapter that we are taking initiative and protocol to actually go to these committee meetings. We weren't able to go this last Tuesday because the law was still in committee, but we're actively looking into it. And I think we're trying to do just what we're doing here, you know, get the youth perspective on the matter and hear from the youth, because I think they've been long silenced or they've been long forgotten in the conversation.
Got another text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Do you feel that the teachers are equipped to handle the needs of yourself and your peers today? Sometimes as a parent, I feel indifferent than my child about the teachers and their ability to address such issues as bullying and peer pressure. Can the teachers hang?
No. They're too busy trying to be our friend.
I don't think a lot of them are ready to deal with that type of situation. And I participate in a program during the summer where we actually create videos to go against bullying and stand up for those and say, you know, reach out for help. But then the problem comes who you reach out to. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of teachers want to sit down or necessarily really get involved with our lives, our personal lives, other than look at it as a dollar sign or, you know, whatever else.
239-1310. So you guys have a Hands Against Bullying Club. At Addicts.
Yes.
They just handed me the button. What is that?
I'm personally in the Hands Against Bullying Club. And really what it is we go after school and we created a presentation to go around the school and to present to everyone talking about what bullying is and the different forms of it and how to stop it. And most of the time we understand that when you do go to a teacher, one teacher might say something and one might not. So it really all depends on who you go to and to basically be consistent about it.
It all depends on who you go to.
Yes, which is a sad thing, unfortunately, but it's true.
How important is it if one of your friends says they're bullying? Do you give them advice to go to the teacher? Do you give them advice to at least tell their parents or grandparents so they can start intervening with the school?
I think one of the biggest things, Mr. Brown, is we define the word bullying in many different ways, but I think that it has become a norm in society today for other kids to pick on other kids, and we see it as just fun and play. But it has real social impacts on them, and it has real health effects on them. And so when we – I know a lot of people in this room, when they hear about bullying, they – are more likely to attack the problem head on, talk to a teacher, be confrontational about it. But I think for a majority of people, it has become something of fun and play and something that doesn't continue and doesn't have effects afterwards.
But bullying has been going around ever since, you know, Cain and Abel.
Right. Yeah, because I was about to say, like, honestly, bullying has been around. Now, that is something that I can say has been consistent from our parents and our grandparents and all their generations. Bullying has been consistent. And me personally, I, like, don't understand why all of a sudden we are putting this emphasis on bullying. But it does need to stop. And I believe that if we had dealt with it in the generations before, then we would have been able to prevent it and what it is now, because it has really escalated.
It's escalated?
I believe so.
I mean, now you've got cyberbullying and all that other stuff that ties into it, and it can be a really big problem now.
Speaking of cyber, and you all talked about this when I helped throw McCoy under the bus. Thank you very much, because I've been trying to deal with that, the printed directory instead of online. You all are the generation of social media.
Yeah.
And does your generation understand the responsibilities of social media? I mean, there are employers that are looking up your Twitter and your Facebook and your Instagram and what have you. If you get out in the world of work, you're going to have to sign your life away that if you're on your own private social media and you say something stupid, you have automatically lost your job, those kind of things. And or is that a course that needs to be taught? I'm being very serious about that, because there are people that complain, well, why am I getting fired, Mr. Boss, just because I use the N-word in social media, and I'm white? Why are you firing me? This is America. I'm supposed to have free speech. No, you're not. Is that kind of responsibility something that another one of those courses that need to be taught, instead of, you know, take out 4 hours of algebra and calculus and put in an hour of responsible Facebook 101?
I think a lot of students in our generation are not aware of that. And once you post something on the internet, it never goes away. Mm-hmm. There's databases that take screenshots of your websites, you know, every second of the day. So what's there is there. Once you post it, you cannot get rid of it, even if you delete it. And that's the program that I'm in. It's called Net Literacy, and we try to focus on that. So we create videos that are targeted towards people our age.
And that's something that you are – that's a student-led thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so we actually write the scripts, we shoot it, and then schools, like in the IPS systems and townships, will use them and show them to their students. Yeah. So I think that's something that needs to be focused on. It needs to be really brought up more to the attention, and especially if we use those videos more often, because they're not used that as much as they should be, then –
I'm going to use this as an example. Is that a school-sanctioned activity?
It's a program that I signed up for a couple years ago through the IT woman at our school.
Okay.
And it's called Net Literacy. And we're partnered with Ivy Tech right now, so it's held on Ivy Tech's campus. And so far, from the past couple of years, it's been an invitation-back-only thing. I think you can get into it if you're recommended and things. But
the only reason I bring that up, and this goes back to the community having information of what's out here, what positive things are being done by young people, and it just kind of strikes me that I don't think there is a central repository of all the activities that occur, I'll just use high schools as an example, that occur in the 30 or so or 40 or so high schools that exist in this city. So if Pike has a bunch of stuff, and I know Pike, if Pike has a bunch of stuff, nobody really knows what Pike is doing except the folks that are in Pike. Nobody really knows what Addicts is doing except the folks at Addicts, and vice versa. Meanwhile, the general community doesn't know the kinds of positive things that young people are involved in unless they go to an event and they hear, here's, you know, Joe Blow winning an award and they were involved in A, B, C, D, F, and G. Is that something also that ought to be on an electronic database so that everybody kind of knows what everybody, what all the positive things that young people are doing?
Yeah, definitely.
See, the things we're learning on the program.
Yeah, I know we always bring up the fact that in the news, we always hear about the bad things, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to IPS students. Mm-hmm. If somebody does anything, like you run over a cat, IPS student runs over cat at 5 p.m. But we have students who are competing nationally in the NAACP AXO competition, mm-hmm. and then we have people who don't even know that this competition exists. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has to be fixed and has to be fought. It's not that... It's not always that there aren't a lot of programs for us. Right. It's that the programs that are for us are generally advertised towards our parents. Now, if you come from a low-income family, a lot of times your parents aren't there, and they're not listening, and mm-hmm. they're not hearing the things that are being told to them. So you don't have access to that information.
Boy, oh boy, the things that we are learning. Guys, it has been an honor and privilege to have you all here. Kevin Griffin, Naomi Bardo, Shania Kelsom, Makriya Draper, Amanda Wilson, Ashai Thomas, Jasmine Herring, Salima Abdul Ali, Maya McChristian, Zaria Strayhorn, Byron Ratcliffe, Tyler Stockton, Crystal Ratcliffe, the head of the Greater Indianapolis NAACP, kind of helped us put all this together. Thank you. Now, you all got it. Addicts Tigers, you got to end. You didn't know. You got to end with the song. Y'all know it. Y'all love it. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Addicts, alma mater, how we love and worship thee. We will cheer for dear old Addicts just to show our loyalty. Rah, rah, rah. Green and gold our colors, we will lift them to the skies. And we will fight, 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 and cheer with all our might for Addicts High School. Rah, rah, rah.
There are thousands of Addicts alumni listening that are just going, yay, go Tigers! Guys, thank you all very, very much. This has been a great discussion. We've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. Now, whether the audience learned a lot is on them. Thank you all very, very much to the two graduates, Kevin and Maya. Good luck to you at Wabash and Purdue. We want to hear great things from both of you and all the rest of you. Have a great school year next year and the year after that and the year after that. You guys got to keep up that 100%. Everybody walks and gets their diploma on time at Addicts. Because you don't know how much I enjoy when I'm reading the graduation rates and I say, Addicts, 100%. The audience goes wild that day. Thank you all very, very much. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. This has not been a pretty day in terms of crime and violence. Also, the head of the Veterans Administration, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, resigns today. But he's also firing a bunch of people because the scandal and the mess at the VA hospitals is getting worse and worse. It's After News with Amos after these.